this thought and theme of thankfulness, would you let me turn over to Colossians? And I'd like for you to go with me to some things that have been touching my heart for the last few hours over in Colossians. While you're turning there, I might read a verse, if you write it down, from Psalms 100, verse 4. And then we'll read from Colossians. Psalms 104, be thankful unto him and bless his name. Say it with me. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Now let's look at Colossians, the third chapter. There's so many wonderful things that are here in the Word of God, but let's just read a few of these verses that have touched my heart. But now, verse 8, chapter 3, but now ye also put off all these anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you've put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Or if anyone has a complaint against any. And above all these things, I'm in the third chapter of Colossians, verse 14. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Put on the love of God. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Be ye thankful. You be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. We do a lot of that around here. And whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Giving thanks to God. It's time for us to be giving thanks to God. Whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Now this is an interesting observation. I'm keying in on these scriptures from Psalms 104. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Colossians 3:15, be ye thankful. You be thankful. God is saying to me, Bob Nichols, be thankful. I believe that one of the greatest virtues in the kingdom of God, outside of being born again, is to have a thankful spirit and a thankful attitude for what God has done for us. You see, to give thanks usually waits for a special occasion. Some people never thank anybody for anything. And some people thank people when things happen. So to them, we would say that it's a matter of giving thanks, usually waiting for a special occasion. You did something nice, so I said thank you. You said something that helped me, or you did something in a kind or a generous way, and I just said thank you. I want to thank you for that. But to be thankful is a way of life. To be thankful is a godly mindset. To be thankful is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, thanking God. It's a continual mindset. To be thankful is a way of life. It's a godly mindset that pleases God and opens the floodgates of heaven to all of God's great bounty. To say the least, Herod was not thankful about the birth of Jesus, because this new young king, whoever he was and wherever he was, threatened his kingdom. We don't want anything to threaten our kingdom, our freedom, my thing, me, me, me. If it threatens me, get out of my way, or I'll get in your face. Herod was not thankful because this young king Jesus was threatening his kingdom. Let me tell you something. You don't have to worry about anybody getting your kingdom, because if God gave it, God will take care of it. Religion was not thankful about this new king because they saw Jesus in his teaching ministry as really believing what the Bible said. You know what got Jesus into hot water? Teaching and preaching what religion had forgotten to practice. The world doesn't care how much you preach the Word of God as long as you don't demand change. And that's one reason, I don't mean to be unkind, but sometimes folks find a little problem in staying around here, because when the anointed Word of God is taught and preached, you've either got to change or get out. It's hard to be neutral. The real Word of God will not leave you where it found you. It will change your mind. It will change your body. A sinner feels uncomfortable in a congregation where we preach, you must be born again, and today is the day to do it. We don't preach a social gospel in this house. We don't preach an easy charismatic gospel in this house. We preach a gospel that every one of us must change. Jesus came to change people. The way you change societies is to change people. The way you change communities is to change people. So Herod was not thankful about the birth of this new king, and religion was not thankful because this new religious leader was demanding change. A woman caught in adultery, he really expected them to forgive, and they weren't accustomed to that. They were much better in the stoning department. I mean, they had their sharpshooters. Jesus talked about telling the truth the first time when no one was really listening. Jesus spoke about attitudes of the heart. You can kill someone with a tongue quicker than you can kill them with a high-powered pistol or a rifle. Let me tell you something. More people have been injured, maimed, murdered in the kingdom of God by a tongue than any automatic rifle, any weapon, anything that is used today to hurt humanity. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. And the reason they got so upset at Jesus, when he got through preaching, there wasn't anything else to do but do it. He was not subject to debate. Well, do we give unto Caesar, or do we give unto God? Render unto God the things that are God's, and unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. What do you do with a man like that? The wisdom of God. But the shepherds were thankful. They'd been looking for this for a long time. I found something this last week that I've been looking for about a month. I misplaced it, and I found it. And it blessed me, because I found a set of keys that I thought, Lord, where in the world could those keys have gone? But they were right in the pocket where I left them, in my closet. I found something that was missing. And I got happy about that. I really was thankful. The shepherds had been looking for Jesus, I believe, for a long time. 400 years of darkness is a long time. Not 4 days, 4 months, 4 years, but 400 years. You see, through all those earlier years, God was speaking, but seldom would man listen. Now man's listening, but God says, I have nothing to say. He only spoke on certain occasions to His precious ones. The wise men were thankful when they saw the star. The shepherds were happy when they heard the beautiful, joyous music from heaven. The angels were thankful. They had been wanting to know about this for a long time. In fact, the Bible said that angels desire to look into the things that we take so commonly on this earth. Angels would give anything to understand why we act like we do sometimes. And there'll be a day when we'll stand in His presence and the angels cannot sing that song. Only those washed and redeemed in the blood of the Lamb are going to be able to sing that song. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. We'll sing a song that angels cannot sing. So the shepherds were thankful. The wise men were thankful. The angels were thankful. Prostitutes were thankful. The man with the withered hand was thankful. The man with blind eyes who cried out, "Oh, have mercy, Son of David." He was so thankful that unto us a son is born, unto us a child is given. Prodigal sons and daughters were happy. A lot of people don't come back from the far country. Seems like it's so easy to get out there, but it's so hard to come back. It really isn't, but the devil tells you that it's hard to come back. You've made such a mess of your life. You've been such a fool. You've disappointed yourself and everyone in your life. But oh, thank God, thank God, thank God, men and women, boys and girls are still coming to themselves. On our way back from our staff get together the other night, we just gave a call. We had a little present for a very wonderful, talented Fort Worth surgeon. And so we called and they would have nothing to do, but we go by and we sit down, and for about an hour, a man that said all that used to come out of my mouth was GD. He said anyone that knew me just knew me as a man driven, making very good money. The yacht, the big house, the bigger house, the bigger house, the bigger house. Stepping over people, doing his job well, but everything else in his life was in total disarray. But 4 years ago, 57 years of age, he was born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. His wife preceded him in that experience. She was so lonely because she was quite a fanatic, and he was just as fanatic in serving the devil as she was now in serving the Lord. And so she prayed for God to save her husband and make him a fanatic. Now he becomes so fanatical that she's embarrassed to go out with him. True story. In fact, his pastor said, "You know, every once in a while you got to use wisdom. You can't just grab everybody that you come in contact with and tell them they're going to hell and they need to get born again." He said, "Well, why not? I was. Somebody told me." You know the thing that never ceases to amaze me? Listen to me very closely. It cannot be said any more simply. It cannot be said any more scripturally. It cannot be said in any greater or any lesser way than the gospel has been said in this house just this last year. Think of the ministry that's been in this place. God has sent us some of the strongest ministry in the whole wide world. The gospel has been taught and preached and explained and stories told to give color to what it's all about. The gospel has been preached in this church every way, form, and fashion it can be preached or taught. And I'm crying out to God that God will give me revelation knowledge or an anointing that supersedes spiritual blindness. How that somebody can walk into these doors so messed up that you couldn't even understand how messed up they are. Messed up morally, messed up in their marriages usually. messed up in their finances. Just like this man, he said, I owed $5 million. Made a lot of money, but I was on the verge of losing everything I had. And some people can come and be born again. And you mean there's more? Yeah. Well, I want that too. Well, it's other tongues. I don't care what it is. I want it. Well, some people don't understand it. Well, I've done things all my life people didn't understand. I want that too. Well, how do you get more of this? Oh, you read the Bible. Well, we have a Bible school. I'll enroll in that. And they read the Bible through 2 or 3 times in a year. And they witness to everybody they come in contact with. Tithing? Well, that's no big deal. I've thrown my money away all my life. Well, the liquor industry's almost cleaned me out. Street drugs and prescription drugs have just ruined my life. I mean, hey, a 10%, man, that's a bargain. I mean, that's an outright bargain. The devil's almost stolen my mind, my marriage or my marriages, stolen my fortune, stolen my self-respect. And you mean every sin that I've ever committed is under the blood of Jesus? You mean I'm going to heaven? You mean I'm not an old dirt bag? I'm not an old filthy, rotten sinner? You mean I'm born again? And even though I may have murdered someone, but now God looks upon me as being clean and pure, the righteousness of God in Christ. Well, you can't keep me out of this place. I'll be here every time the doors are open. And yet on the broadcast, we beg people to come to church. I see people that have missed for a long time. Please come, please come. And yet some people just walk in here and say, man, I know what food is. I've been without. I know what peace is. I haven't had any all my life. I know what forgiveness is. I have to drink myself to sleep every night. Have to take pills to go to sleep because my conscience hurts me so bad. Man, I feel good. I feel clean. If I died right now, everything's okay. And you mean all God says is 10% and then offerings is, well, hey, that's fair enough to me. The devil was never that fair with me. He stole everything I had. And you look around in 1 or 2 or 3 years, and these people are growing like spiritual giants. And brother, when a person's been to hell and back, and they find peace and joy and love and forgiveness and self-respect, and they've got a decent home and a decent house where they can worship God. Well, one man told me, he said, you couldn't run me off with an elephant gun. He said, I've found what I've been looking for all my life. And yet some folks, I can't figure it out. Hold steady. If God's called you to this house, Satan will do everything within his power to get you out of here. But just say, Satan, if anybody moves, you move. That's one good time to sing, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree planted by the waters. Well, all that I said didn't apply to this particular physician, but some of it did. And I sat there and I thought, God, just like a weed that grew up on the freeway, why is it you can plant so much good grass and sometimes it doesn't grow? But you drive down the freeway and you see a clump of green grass. Nobody planted it. Some bird dropped a seed, probably. Nobody watered it. No one appreciates it. But this grass couldn't care less. He said, I found my place and I'm going to grow and bloom where I'm planted. And if you don't get this little grass out of the way with all of his relatives, they'll take over that slab of concrete. And that's exactly what I'm trying to say to every one of us. There is not one excuse in the world, myself included, for every one of us not to grow strong and tall and victorious, to learn how to pray, to do it, to give, to go, to witness, to live a victorious, overcoming life. There's not an excuse in the world for this year to come to not be your greatest year, your happiest year, your most productive year. Israel's cardinal sin in the wilderness. You can read it if you had time. We're not going to read it this morning, but it's in Psalm 79. You remember where the famous question was asked, can God provide a table in the wilderness? Can God deliver an alky? Can God deliver someone that's been on drugs? Can God deliver someone from pornography? Can God deliver someone that's a habitual liar? And I know a few. Thank God I only know a half a dozen, but I know some habitual liars that there's no way I'd believe anything that came out of their mouth because it's a proven fact that they tell a lie when the truth sounds better. It's not an ugly statement. I've just been the victim of that. But I'll tell you, God can deliver a habitual liar. God can deliver a habitual womanizer. God can deliver a habitual gossiper. And that's worse than anything I've talked about this morning. God can deliver you from weakness, from family and hereditary backgrounds. Everyone in your family may have been an alcoholic, but you don't have to be an alcoholic. Everyone in your family may have been a womanizer, but you don't have to be that. Nowadays, women pursue men worse than men pursue women. I never thought I'd see that day come. Used to be the other way around. I've talked to some men, said, man, I don't feel safe nowadays. Israel's cardinal sin in the wilderness, they forgot to be thankful. They cried out day and night. They did not miss one morning prayer service. God, deliver us from Egypt. And God delivers them, and they say, is that all? We don't like the food. We don't like this. We don't like that. And unless you think I'm just down on everyone, I'm preaching to myself this morning. I've asked God to help me to hold it together because there has never been a greater spirit of thankfulness. I didn't say be thankful. I am thankful. But there's a spirit of thankfulness in my heart this morning. I want to be thankful for every blessing, both great and small. Now let me just summarize some of the things that I've said here today. Talking about a spirit of thankfulness, which is a way of life, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. To give thanks means you did something for me, I responded to that, and that's correct. But a spirit of thankfulness means 24 hours a day. I can wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and I can say, thank you, Jesus. I may not be happy about a lot of things that are going on in my life, but I'm so thankful for the grace of God. I thank God for the grace of God. First of all, when we're thankful, we bless the Lord. We bless His name. Now listen to me. When we're thankful, we bless the name of the Lord. I said when we are thankful, without even mentioning His name, when we're thankful, when there's a spirit of thankfulness in us, it blesses the Lord. It blesses a father and mother to know that your children appreciate what you do for them. Are you listening to me? Some of you need to make some phone calls during the holidays. And maybe your parents weren't all they should be, but thank them for as much as they were. A little love goes a long way. Most of us have looked back and seen the sacrifices that our parents made, which to us were not sacrifices. We wondered why it wasn't bigger and better. When we look back, we realize they probably borrowed money to do what they did just to help us. I've watched some parents shopping during the holidays that you could tell. You could see the car they drove up in. You could see the clothes they're wearing. And they're spending their last dime trying to put a little toy or two before their children. And some kid will say, is that all? Well, I didn't want that one. I wanted this one. See, that's where that spirit gets started. Americans are the biggest gripers on the face of God's earth. We complain about everything. If the football game doesn't go right, I get so aggravated at all these sports talk shows. They couldn't even play a game of pool. Couldn't even win a game of checkers. And yet they get on the phone. Well, I'll tell you what I think of it. I couldn't give a holy hoot what they think about it. Let them go out there and let a 300-pound Mack truck run into you or three of them at the same time. Sunday afternoon quarterbacks. We know everything about everything. Man, if they put you out there for 3 minutes, they'd have you in intensive care. First of all, you'd be out of wind. for the first time in your life. I mean, there was a city when they're about to lose their football team, the whole city's going berserk. We don't miss something until it's gone. We don't miss a blessing until it's no more. I'm going to tell you, I thank God for my traveling overseas and in third world nations. I was in a supermarket the other day. I'm thankful for what's there, but you know, it seems like I can't walk in the door. It takes me 30 minutes. I mean, I'm going to run in there 5 minutes, and before long, I remember something else. And I left, I said, I can't get out of here for less than 30 minutes and 30 bucks, it seems like. And that's cheap. And then God said, remember when you were in Haiti? Remember when you were down in Grenada? Remember when you were here? Remember when you were there? And people have been waiting a long time just to get one little product like you have so many to choose from. Talking to myself now. Can I tell on myself? People, we ought to thank God that we have food, that we have clothing, that we have shelter. I mean, if the drive-in food, fast food, if they don't move quick, we just get all bent out of shape. Well, you promised you could have it ready and... One man, the big old pick-em-up truck, they didn't get his order quick enough. He burned rubber and tore out on the freeway. I said, what was wrong with him? She said, we didn't get his order quick enough. I'm not wasting time. God's message to me and God's message to you and God's message to all of us, folks, it's time to be thankful. Not just thank somebody because they did something for you, but 24 hours a day say, oh God, I am thankful. I'm thankful. Thankful for enough health to be here this morning. So when we are thankful, we bless the Lord. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Number two, when we're thankful, according to Colossians, the 3rd chapter, we let the peace of God rule in our hearts. Did you know that thankfulness releases the peace of God in your heart? Very few people have peace nowadays. Everyone's in turmoil. Many people are in turmoil. But you know, when we're thankful, it releases the peace of God that passes all understanding. And that's so beautiful. Did you know that when we're truly thankful, there's a release of joy in the Holy Ghost? When I don't feel like I have anything to be thankful for, I'm just all uptight. But when I'm thankful, it releases joy. Joy in the Holy Ghost. You see, there's one thing you learn when you've lived a little while. You're thankful for things, but things don't make you happy. I live for the day when I got my first, I only had one convertible, that was enough. And I found out life was not in a convertible. The color was right. It was styled right. Oh, it was a good looking machine, but oh, I think the thing was demonized. Everything went wrong with that convertible. That just takes the joy out of it, you know. You're just driving down the road and it just stops on you and you don't know what to do with it. Got my first car, and on a Sunday afternoon, took my girlfriend for a ride. Got right in front of Farrington Field, and that thing stopped dead as a hammer. And I felt like a fool. And you know, we didn't have car phones back then. There was one 4 blocks down the road. Finally called somebody and got one of my friends to come over, and he pushed us home. That was humiliating. Tell you, life's not in an automobile. Life's not in a home. They're nice, but life's not there. You know where thankfulness and happiness begins? In your heart. In your heart. In my heart. In fact, The greatest things in life really are free. You can't buy someone's love. Try it. You'll go broke. You can't buy love. Some people try to buy a girlfriend's love or affection or to buy influence or whatever. To be the recipient of real, genuine, agape, God kind of love, you can't put a price tag on that. Not somebody that you make one little mistake and you're off their agenda, you're off their calendar. But you make some mistake and they say, I love you anyway. May not understand the mistake you made, but I still love you. You see, when we're truly thankful, we have joy in the Holy Ghost. Also, unthankfulness, according to Psalm 78, is unbelief and lack of trust in God. I want to say that one more time. An unthankful spirit is a manifestation of unbelief and lack of trust in God. And it stops the flow of God's blessings toward our life. Because I don't care how much you get blessed, if you're not thankful, it'll just go sour. You can just wear one pair of shoes at a time. You can just wear one dress, one suit at a time. Just drive one car at a time. Unthankfulness is unbelief. It's a lack of trust in God. And it stops the flow of God's blessings. You see, when we're thankful, it opens the windows of heaven. I'm a father. I understand how this works, at least from the earth side. Boy, there's days when your kids act like sometimes kids act. You couldn't care less if you ever did anything else for them. I mean, get out of my way. That's not that you don't love them. But you know, when children serve God and they do the right thing and their attitudes are right and they're trying in school. I saw a bumper sticker the other day. It said, my kid that makes F beats up your A student. Also had three other bumper stickers on there, and then a fish on the car at the same time. I stopped and I said, if there was ever a contradiction on the back of an automobile, this is it. This is classic right here. A Hard Rock Station bumper sticker, a fish. My kid beat up your honor student. What kind of a message is that giving to children? And then our children turn out like little devils, and we said, see, I told you. We are living epistles born and read of all men. And you're the only, sorry, but you and I are the only Bible someone's going to read. I was somewhere the other day and someone just really acted very contentious. And I was in a hurry and I'm doing my best. And I really was. Thank God that's one day when I was really sanctified. Praise God. But I thought about being otherwise. The thought came to mind. And you know, before it all happened, finally a little grace broke into that thing. You know, lo and behold, that person attends this church quite often. What? What if I had acted carnal, ugly, ill-tempered? What if? And then me turn around and try to give a witness. And before the conversation was over, when I signed the tickets, oh yeah, Bob Nichols. I didn't recognize you with that hat on. I said, yeah, that's me. It's getting to where I can't go anywhere without someone recognizing me. I better act like Jesus. I better talk like Jesus. I better handle things like Jesus would handle them. Did you know that a spirit of unthankfulness is just as bad as a spirit of profanity? When Israel said, can God provide a table in the wilderness? You know what they were saying? My daddy's a child abuser. My daddy doesn't feed me. My daddy doesn't clothe me. My daddy doesn't take care of me. You know what that's saying to God? That's giving God a very bad reputation and using His name in the middle of it. This is what keeps us walking straight. Let me just sort of put it on the home stretch here. No, Herod wasn't thankful. It threatened his kingdom. Religion wasn't thankful. Jesus expected them to really do what the Word of God said to do. The shepherds were thankful. Wise men were thankful. Angels were thankful. And I pray to God we'll be thankful. You know what really keeps me thankful? A week like I've had this last week. When my friend that helped us so much in those early days in the former location calls me, and he's got a new heart. And I said, how is life? And he said, I'm a different man. He said, I've always loved my friends, but he said, I'm a business guy. You know, people are checkers on the board. You know, they're things that you move around and rearrange. He's a mover and a shaker. He said, I see people different. He said, when I walked out of the hospital, I saw a tree for the first time. Those are just things you bulldoze on your project. I saw some flowers. I saw some grass. I'd been flat of my back waiting for a new heart. They told me at one time I only had 2 hours to live. He said, Pastor Bob, I'll never be the same again. I've been to the door of death, and I've been given a new lease on life. He said, I see my wife in a different light. I see my child, my grandchildren in a different light. He said, I see people. He said, I study people's faces to see if they're happy or if there's pain. He said, I can spot pain very easily now. I've had so much of it during this ordeal. He said, I'm seeing things that I've never seen before. He said, I'm a new man. You know, that's the prayer that I have for every one of us in this service today. I want us to leave this service thanking God that things are as good as they are and that things are getting better every day. When my children were smaller, my girls, we'd usually have a Saturday together and we'd always try to do some fun things. But I would always try to be sure my child, one of my children was with me to go by the hospital where somebody was hurting. Or to go by and visit someone that didn't have long to live, or maybe someone that was in a hardship situation, to remind my children that life is not Camelot. That life is tough. Yesterday, Robbie and I were spending some time together. We went by a man's house by the name of Ray. He lived next door to a precious lady that's been a vital part of our life for about 18, 19 years, probably more than that. But last week, Ray's house burned, not to the ground, but it might as well have. Lost every bit of clothing, every bit of furniture. Everything in the house is totally ruined. It's just charred. And when we dropped by that place and looked, of course, he's not there right now. And I looked at that house and I said, Robbie, we have so much to be thankful for. This man doesn't have any clothes unless someone's given him clothes. I just found out about it. He's out living with friends somewhere else. Robbie, we have a lot to be thankful for. He said, we sure do, Granddaddy. We have a lot to be thankful for. I was just thinking about, we went to visit a man that the doctors say he has cancer, that he has to have a miracle in his body. And so he is with me there and we prayed for that man, a man that's been with this church since almost the very beginning. And I said, you know, Robbie, thank God for health. Thank God. We may not have everything we want, but thank God we have health. He said, you're right, Granddaddy. Now, the man that had a heart attack, and he's got to have a miracle of God. And I thought about something that I read in the parade. Oh, it was in November, I think it was. From time to time, there's some worthy articles that are there. There was a Jewish man who was put in a Nazi concentration camp. He would have seen his father die, really, for all practical purposes, he did, but because he couldn't stand to see his father take his last breath, he went somewhere else. He just couldn't handle it because his father was all he had left in the world. So this dear man, back in World War II, he's one that has been given the Distinguished Nobel Peace Prize Award. He's a winner. But it said how America and I chose each other. And then in the process of time, he was released from the concentration camp in Hungary and then came to America. But it was just a comedy of errors. He lived in fear every day of his life of being deported. Somehow he came over on something from France, because that was the last little place that he lived. And he said, you don't know what it is for years to live in fear, to live in fear. The phone call, the knock on the door. Is it that haunting memory of the Secret Service coming to take us away? Or even though America's wonderful, you know, it's a terrible thing to have to live in fear. And finally, one day, someone befriended him and said, "Let me tell you the process of becoming an American citizen." He said, "You mean I could become an American citizen?" They said, "Yes. And here's the way you start. Here's the first step, and then here's the next step, and here's the next step." And so the man went through the process of that. But he came to a final moment when it looked like it was all over. And he was going to be denied this thing that he had worked for so long. But one kind clerk looked at him and said, "I'm going to help you. I'm going to befriend you. I'm going to help you become an American citizen." And this poor, formerly poor, fearful Jewish man that knew what it was to see his last living relative die in a concentration camp, one day became an American citizen and had his own passport. And some of us don't appreciate this great nation. I'm not saying we're the only nation, but what this man had come through, this was heaven compared to what this man had gone through. He said, "I stood there wondering if I'd be deported or placed on some kind of a blacklist. But the official smiled. I stared at him. Could I actually become an American citizen?" And the man said, "Yes, I'll help you." And the man is so thankful that he's an American citizen. And he's writing a book and some other things about him. But you know, as I read that, I thought, I've never had to go through that process. I was born an American. I was born in this nation. But this man is so thankful. This precious Jewish man is so thankful that he's a citizen. In fact, after he got his American citizenship, then the French decided they would give him their citizenship. And he said, "No, the Americans were there when I needed them. I'll keep my American citizenship. I'm happy where I am." Say, "Pastor Bob Nichols, why are you ministering like this today?" Because I'm reaching out with everything I have in a pastor's heart. One thing that'll stop the revival is a spirit of unthankfulness. One thing that'll stop your spiritual growth is a spirit of unthankfulness. Folks, some things could be better in all of our lives, and in some of your lives, any kind of a change would be a plus. But I think it's time to thank God that things are as good as they are. And they're getting better every day. And whatever it is, thank God for it. I want my children to be some of the most thankful children on the face of the earth. If we die, we go to heaven for eternity. And on the way, we're the righteousness of God in Christ. Folks, we're blessed. It's good to give thanks. It's better to have a spirit of thankfulness.